We have spent the last few weeks together looking at God's will, journey of a lifetime. And what we have found is that understanding God's will is not usually as difficult as we make it out to be. It's kind of really fairly simple. If we're willing to truly be a disciple, do those things that Christ called us to do in order to follow him. We talked about all of those things in the last series, Not a Fan. If we're going to take that seriously, we're really going to follow him as a disciple, well, then we are going to wind up in a place in which understanding God's will becomes fairly simple, we could even say. Let me remind you kind of what we talked about. First, we said it's important that you're willing to follow. And as we thought about that, we looked at Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm going to make my life a living sacrifice. I'm not going to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And then it says that we do those things in order to prove what the perfect will of God is. So it starts just by saying, I'm willing. I'm willing to put my will aside and accept your will. I'm willing to put myself aside and let you be Lord, let you be in charge. If you're not willing to follow God's will, he'll never show it to you. All right? It's important that we remember, if you're not willing to follow his will, he's not going to show it to you. So we start just by being willing to follow. Well, then we talked about learning how he leads. Thank you. Learning how he leads. And we found out that the way he leads is one step at a time. If I'm willing to follow, then I need to understand how he leads. He leads one step at a time. And once I follow to that step, he says, okay, now you're ready to grow up a little bit, and I'll show you the next step. All right? You've grown up a little bit, now I'll show you the next step. We're willing to follow, then he teaches us how he's going to lead. And then we do our part. As he leads, we do our part. Well, what is our part? We summarize it real simply. I'm going to talk to him through prayer, and I'm going to listen to him through the scriptures. We're going to have a conversation. I'm going to talk, and I'm going to listen. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to read my Bible. As I pray and as I read my Bible, he's going to work on my mind so that I start thinking the way that I'm supposed to be thinking. As I start thinking the way I'm supposed to be thinking, the next thing he does is he actually changes my want to. He changes my desires into his desires. And then once I start wanting what he wants, the next step is the fun part. Do what you want. Do what you want. If you're willing, really willing to follow him so much that you make yourself a living sacrifice, you give up self for him. If you understand he's not going to show you the whole thing all at once and you're willing to follow step by step, if you're willing to do your part, talk to him, read the Bible, learn and grow, then you do what you want. Because through that process, he is changing what you want into what he wants. And then you get to just have a joyful journey. It turns out to be a fun life because you get to do what you want. Well, along that journey, he is going to give us some tools that we need to help us. And that's what I want us to think about this morning as we wrap up this series, as we finish off the instruction about the journey of a lifetime. I want us to think about the tools for the journey. We started talking about the journey. I told you about a backpacking trip that I went on, and before I could go on the backpack trip, I had to prove that I was ready. I had to kind of
work out a little bit and walk and run around the track so to the point that I could finish a mile within whatever certain time they gave me. And I had to prepare myself. Well, once we finally got to go on the trip, I also had to buy a bunch of stuff. You have to have stuff to put in the backpack if you're going to carry the backpack. You know, it's not much point in having a backpack without anything in it. And so that was the next thing I had to learn was, what do I need to put in the backpack? What am I going to need while I'm there? And so they taught me what kind of food to buy, what kind of rope to buy. They taught me, they taught me what kind of fire starters we should use and shouldn't use, and all these kinds of things. And so, before I could go on the trip, I had to become familiar with the tools that I would need along the way. And the same thing is true as we take this journey through life. We just need to understand what are the tools that God uses as he guides us along the way. I want to show you just a few of the most important ones this morning. The first one is gifts and abilities. God has given you certain gifts, certain abilities. As you are on this journey of a lifetime, as you're living your life in a way that says, I want God's will, as you're looking for his will, as you're living within his will, he's going to give you gifts and abilities that will accomplish his will. In other words, he is not going to give you the gifts of music and then say, it's my will for you to never sing and instead to be a plumber. Same token, he's not going to give you the gifts and the abilities to use your hands and figure out how plumbing works and then say, but I don't ever want you to touch a pipe. I want you to be my singer. One of the ways that we begin to understand his will is we look at, who did you make me to be, God? What gifts do I have? What are my abilities? Because the chances are, he knew what he was doing when he made you. You reckon that might be possible? That when he made you, he gave you the stuff that you need to do what he wants you to do. So if you understand who you are, you're better equipped to figure it out what it is he wants you to do. Let me show you in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 at verse 7. If you have your copy of Scripture with you in the New Testament, you want to find 1 Corinthians. It'll be one of the bigger books in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want us to camp out at verse 7 for just a few minutes. 1 Corinthians 12 and 7. Paul is writing, remember, Paul is writing to the church. He's writing to Christians. And he says to us, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The manifestation of the Spirit is that spiritual gift that God has given you that demonstrates that the Holy Spirit is in you. The gift, whatever spiritual gift you have, shows that he is there. All right? That's what he means by the manifestation of the Spirit. And notice a few things about this verse. This is kind of exciting stuff. Notice, first of all, that he says, but to each one is given. Spiritual gifts are given to every believer. He says, to each one is given. I think we make the misunderstanding sometimes of thinking, well, I have to become a Christian first, and then I have to learn how to be a disciple. And then if I get that down good enough, then maybe God will bless me with some kind of gift. And we get it all backwards. Because, you know, the truth is, if you're not willing to be a disciple, you're probably not really saved to begin with. Jesus never said, walk the aisle and sign the card, and then later we'll talk about really following. He starts off right off the bat, follow me or go home. Okay? So the truth is, it's not that we get saved and then we grow into being a disciple and then we get a gift. The truth is, we give our lives to Him really, completely, fully, and at that moment, the Holy Spirit fills us. We, right then, begin to see our gifts being developed. We right then see the manifestation. And that happens to every believer. That verse says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. I also want you to see in that verse that spiritual gifts are not just human abilities. They're different. Both are necessary, both are important gifts from God, but they are different. There are certain human abilities that we have, the certain things we can do almost on our own. But then there are those spiritual gifts, those things that God gave us that allow us to do things for His glory and His kingdom that we would not adequately be able to do on our own. There are gifts and there are abilities. Here he says that each one of us is given those gifts. Notice also that the spiritual gifts are given specifically for building up the body of Christ. He says there at the end, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Why do you have spiritual gifts? You do not have spiritual gifts as some kind of reward. You do not have spiritual gifts as a way of making you feel good and boosting your self-esteem. You do not have spiritual gifts so you can show off. God gave you spiritual gifts for the good of the body. By the way, that's one of the reasons that we need to be connected to a local body of believers, because that's how He planned all of this. He created in you spiritual gifts that are to be used for the building up of the body. So remember that however He made you, whatever makes you special, He intended for you to use that to build His kingdom, to strengthen His body. Spiritual gifts are given specifically for building up the body of Christ. And then finally, I want you to notice while we camp out on this verse that a believer may have more than one spiritual gift. It's possible for a believer to have more than one spiritual gift. I think that's another mistake we make. We say, well, my gift is, my gift is leadership. And because my gift is leadership, that means I can't do anything else. I can't teach because my gift is leadership. In reality, God gives believers more than one gift. So you may be gifted as a leader and as a teacher. You may also have the gift of compassion. And so you roll that compassion into the way you teach and the way you lead. One of the things, one of the tools that we have in making this journey of a lifetime, one of the tools that we carry with us to understand God's will better is the gifts and the abilities that He's given us. We can look and say, who am I? And based on who I am, that helps me figure out what I need to do and where I need to go. 1 Peter said this, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So remember that we use our gifts to build one another up, and those gifts help us understand what God had intended for us to do and for us to be. Another tool that God uses along the way is our circumstances. We can look around us and see what's happening, and based on our circumstances, God can direct us. He can teach us. You know, not long ago, Experiencing God came out, and that was That was a great study that changed a lot of people's lives and redirected a lot of churches, to be honest with you. It's a great study. We may need to think about pulling it back out and doing that again. But one of the key parts of experiencing God is that you look around and see what God is doing and then join Him. See what God is doing and then join Him. You see, God uses the circumstances around us a lot to direct us. If we'll just be aware of those circumstances, we use terms like opening the doors or closing the doors. God uses those circumstances sometimes to open those doors or close those doors to direct our paths. Once we're willing to follow Him and we understand how He's leading us, as we go along the journey doing our part, we're going to do the things we want, and along the way, He may close a door. He may open another. He uses the circumstances around us. Remember the text from Romans 12 that we started with. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. That's why I want to stress that verse again. When I'm talking about circumstances, I'm saying this is just one of the tools that He uses, and we've got to keep it in context. So many people let the circumstances of their lives dictate to them how they're going to live. That's not what we're talking about at all. That's being conformed to the pattern of the world. What we are saying is when all the other things are in place, we watch for the way God uses the circumstances to guide us. So we're not going to be conformed to the pattern of the world, but we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Then we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. In a similar way, there's Proverbs 3, familiar text. When Ashley was very young, we started learning Bible verses at home. And we started with John 3:16, and we learned that one. Then we learned two or three others from Paul's writings. We got some out of the Old Testament. When I'm afraid, I'll trust in God. We even got through Psalm 23. At one point, she could do the whole Psalm 23. And along the way, we said whatever other verses we were working on, we did these two verses every night the whole time she was a kid. And we taught her, this is your life verse. This is the one that we want you to know to guide you through this life. It's that important. And I want you to make sure that you get this as well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. All right, that's a whole lot more than just showing up sometimes to church. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, because you're going to get it wrong sometimes. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. You trust Him each step along the way, and let him change the circumstances as He wants to, as He needs to make that path straight for you. He'll do that if you trust Him with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So He uses our gifts and our abilities. He uses our circumstances, and He uses advice from others. Again, remember the context, because this can get you in trouble if this is all you do. If the only thing you do is talk to all your friends and neighbors and coworkers, what do you think I ought to do? You're going to get some bad advice. You're going to wind up in trouble. But in the context of the whole journey, after we've done all the other things we've talked about, in that context, now that we're watching for God to guide us, we're leaning not on our understanding but trusting Him, then we listen to the advice of others. You know why that's important? It's important because, I just lost my place. It's important because this is a vast, crazy, mixed up, chaotic, confusing world in which we live. And You only have one very small perspective on one angle of one very small corner of this great, big, mixed up, crazy, chaotic, confusing world. And so what we need is other perspectives. We need other folks to say, have you thought about it this way? I see it that way. Have you tried this? It opens our minds to thinking about new things. And it is scriptural for us to get advice. Just in one book, just in the book of Proverbs, we're told dozens of times that it's important to get advice from others. Let me share with you quickly just a sampling of the Proverbs. 11:14, where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. In 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Chapter 15:22, without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. 19:20 says, listen to the counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. Chapter 20:5, a plan in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. 20:18, prepare plans for consultation and make war by wise guidance. And it goes on and on. I could show you more throughout that book. Proverbs is a book of wisdom that teaches us the best way to live. And throughout that entire book, over and over, we are told, get godly wisdom from other folks. Get counsel. Get advice. So here's the deal. As we take this journey of a lifetime, the journey of living within God's will, we can do so with confidence, knowing that He has given us the tools that we need along the way. He has already given us gifts and abilities to help us figure out this life. He's going to use circumstances around us to guide us. And He's going to speak through wise people, friends, counselors, those we trust. He's going to speak through them to guide us if we'll just listen. Never depend on only one of those things. As we begin to follow God, God's given desires, we use all of those tools prayerfully and humbly. Remember one more thing, and I'm done. God will not steer a parked car. God will not steer a parked car. In order for Him to steer you, to guide you, in order for Him to lead you, you got to be moving. Those of you who keep sitting around waiting for God to show you a sign, to tell you what to do, to tell you where to go, you're going to sit a long time. You get up. You get moving. As you move, trusting Him along the way, He can close a door or open a door or give you advice. He can change the circumstances. He can remind you of who you are. But He's not going to steer you if you're sitting still. Get up and get moving. Do something for the Lord today, tomorrow, the next day. Do something. If you go in the wrong direction, remember the promise. He's going to make your path straight. He's going to close that door. He's going to direct you. He'll make your path straight if you trust Him. Get up and move. And let's begin together the journey of a lifetime. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You that You don't leave us in this big old confusing, mixed up, chaotic world all alone, but that You have provided means by which You can guide us, teach us, and show us Your will. We're grateful. We pray that You'd help us to to submit to your will, to be the followers you want us to be, to pray and read and learn and grow so that our mind becomes more like yours, and then we can do what we want. And all along the way, we trust you to guide us as we go. Father, help us to live that kind of life for your glory and our good is our prayer in Jesus' name.